back. WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively back in Bel Air in Harford County, having some fun. We're at the we're eating better in the neighborhood. This used to be an Applebee's. It's now a Pappas. We're in the Greenbrier Shopping Center here. Man, they're giving me stuff. I got Chesapeake Feline Association shirts. People are dropping stuff off. People are coming by, taking books, taking lottery tickets from the Maryland Lottery. I'm doing all sorts of things. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery conjunction with Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. You buy two, you get two free. 5 years, 0% financing. This guy's been out on a tractor all day. I don't know if he's got new windows or not. He used to sort of run the county a little bit, and then he sort of went out. And I haven't had you on since you were campaigning last year for controller.
Since about August.
Well, man, we're friends on Facebook.
Yeah.
Well, we're friends on Facebook, so I see what you're doing or whatever. You're not my favorite Republican because that's Michael Steele. I already gave that to him, so I got to make you my second favorite Republican. But you've been down in Annapolis, and I didn't realize you were lobbying, doing what you're doing. I didn't really know what you were doing, and I wanted to have you on to see what you were doing. And then it's a Facebook thing. You start to talk about, you say Barry Glassman, then you start showing up. And then I saw, like, you were in Annapolis, and I thought, well, you're going to be a great guy to come here and tell me what's going on in Annapolis the last 90 days, because you're back in the old stomping grounds then.
I am. You know, I spent so I finished up in December, and I took about December off, and then, of course, the legislative session. I kept thinking, you know, what are you going to do? I served 30 years in public service, and I love government and working in politics.
Were you prepared to lose?
Well, you know, I knew it was a tough race. And, you know, since when the primary and when the top of the ticket was what it was,
yeah,
you know, all indication or polling showed that, you know, one Republican might have a chance, but it was a long shot. But we had a great campaign. Listen, I've got so many friends, Democratic, Republican. I enjoy traveling the state, and, you know, I kept my I didn't support the ticket, did my own thing, and so I kept my brand really solid, and that's what I wanted to do, because I had a long legacy of service, and I want to make sure if I go out, I go out with my head up and
sleep
keep
well.
My respect.
Sleep well, yeah. Absolutely.
Hey, my blood pressure's been 10 points lower, and the only bad thing is I ran 25 years, never had an injury, started playing pickleball and ripped my calf muscle like the first month.
Oh,
so
no.
I've been in recovery mode for
See,
that.
See, I've been I talked to the folks from the inline here about the Barry and dancing, and I had my dear friend Gigi on doing Zumba last week. I'm a hot yoga guy. I'm in the best shape I've been in. My back's finally, I mean, my back's been a mess, so I'm feeling better, and I'm feeling like I don't feel like tennis or golf. Anything that's going to involve, like, torquing me, I don't want to mess with. Dancing maybe a little bit, not running. But, like, you know, for you, you're a fitness guy. I mean, last time I saw you, you were running the marathon,
right? So I'm still doing the running. I never had an injury, but I think this pickleball, the stopping and starting, and the more I read is, like, you know, I'm 61, so folks of my age range are getting injured right and left. But I played tennis.
How did he get injured? Pickleball.
Table tennis in college, and never got injured. But so I'm going to stretch. I think the stretching thing may be it.
You stretch when you run.
Yeah.
So you can't run with your calf, right?
No, I'm 6 weeks out. I did the dry needling and all the rehab, and so I did run last week with no pain. So I got a couple races coming up. The Brigance run is coming up.
All right, 5.7. I like that.
That's a tough one down at the Baltimore Zoo. It's got a lot of hills, but so I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to ease back into pickleball a little bit because I did catch the bug.
Going to let it beat you, is what you're telling me.
Right, I caught the bug. I really enjoyed it.
All right. Well, Barry Glassman's here. So you were running. I want to go back to your campaign a little bit. Running for a state office, I don't want to say losing, but I'm sure you met people and made connections in ways that you aspired to do that, and you were sort of put forward to do that for the party, I would think, at that point. What was the experience like for you? Because it was an uphill battle, and you knew that. I ran into you 5 times last summer.
Yeah, it was a good experience. I mean, you know, I didn't get any help for the party, or didn't really have the blessing of the party, so I would set that straight. I've always kind of been my own kind of character, so I haven't really ever had a lot of party support. But being president of MACO, I traveled all the counties, and I knew people there. you know, I had a lot of Democrats pulling for me. They knew it was a tough race. We got endorsed by the Washington Post, said some great things about me. And so I think it just, it felt good to be recognized that you're a good candidate. You know, we kept to the issues. We really didn't get into the any negative stuff. I said, we're going to be positive. We're going to talk about the issues.
Well, and she's a good person.
Yeah. So
of course.
So we kind of stayed on brand, and it was a good race. I did better than the other statewide Republicans, won some jurisdictions, some Democratic areas. So we felt pretty good. I think, you know.
So you wake up
and you're... I did myself proud, yeah.
Well, you wake up and you're still running the county for 6 weeks, and then it's over. Then you say, all right, what are you going to do, right?
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, you got a farm. You know, I think from the beginning you said you didn't need politics in the beginning. I mean, you had a whole life before any of this began.
You know, I retired from BG&E, so, I've got a pension there and, 30 years with the state and state and local politics. But, you know, even though I'm 60, I'm a young 60, I feel like, so I want to work. I'm the kind of guy that's got to work. And so lobbying always in the back of my mind seemed like a good fit.
What is that? Because people told me I'd be a good lobbyist. Yeah. Seriously.
So lobbying, you have to be registered with the state, but really you become an advocate for certain clients, say a recreational cannabis. I have a cannabis client, one of the only Maryland-owned, independent-operated medical cannabis dispensaries that are currently in Cecil County. And so they want to become involved in the recreational piece of that.
Well, that's 90 days away, and we all saw this coming, right?
So they want someone that's on the ground in Annapolis, write testimony, go to the hearings, represent them in the House, in the Senate, where I served in both of those bodies. And so you're kind of their representative on the ground, and they have certain objectives that they want you to try to get accomplished. After you see the first draft of the bill, there's always things that you can change or amend and make better. And so that's your primary job, is really to represent them and represent their interest in the legislative drafting, at committee, in the political process, and then keep an eye on it. Keep your fingers crossed when you come in to sign or die. I was texting my clients on sign or die, like, you know, this is where it's at. This is what's going to happen.
Well, everybody's waiting on it, right? I mean, and I think the population's waiting on it because, look, you're a Harford County farmer. I'm a Dundalk kid. I don't think it would ever be legal or not stigmatized. But we're way past that point at this point.
Right. Once we started the medical, once we got over that hump, I was in the state Senate when we finally began to get over that hump to treat folks and for the medical purposes of cannabis. Once we got over that, I think it was just a matter of time. This was about 104-page bill. And
well, the people voted for this.
Yeah, right. So it was approved, but, you know, the devil's always in the details.
Sure.
You know? But I have to say the House and the Senate, the legislature really did a good job. And this bill is meant to be a framework. You know, it doesn't address every regulatory question out there yet. It sets up an administration that will administer and regulate, promulgate regulations going forward. So it created a good framework, and I think it is workable. For the medical folks, you know, their main objective is July 1 was the referendum question. The bill sets that as a goal, so medical dispensaries will be able to dispense recreational cannabis, hopefully on July 1st.
That's soon.
That's the goal, right. That's soon.
Anybody that's been to Denver or been other places, D.C., I mean, Massachusetts, other places, it's part and parcel of it's happened quickly. But it's integrated. Yeah. There hasn't been a whole lot of fighting about what was being fought over, what was being discussed for the audience. I just don't know. I mean,
so you know, with medical cannabis, they're the initial. They've already got the investment. They're up and running.
Huge investment.
So they're the easy guys that can probably, you know, kind of add in the recreational piece to their current business. Within the bill, there's a conversion fee. You know, they, depending on what their gross revenues were last year, they'll have to pay no less than 10% as a conversion fee, and that's the right. That's basically,
so the bigger they are, the more they pay.
Right, and that's basically, that's the state saying if you want to get in the recreational business, you've got to pay up and pay an additional fee. And so that whole part of the bill, there was a lot of negotiations to get that done.
Everybody's saying we already paid?
Well, you know, it's always about money. No one wants to pay as much as maybe the state wants to. But I think they did a graduated fee schedule. One of the things that a lot of the operators had asked for was an installment plan to give us some time to come up with that capital, because a lot of the medical folks had already invested a lot of capital to get up and running three or four years ago.
Well, if you were 10% everything I had last year, I mean, how many people can just reach in their pocket and come up with that?
So the state, the House and the Senate did a good job. They put about an 18-month window, gave credit to the operators for their annual fee. And so I think that's all workable. I think it was, you know, just the process of going to the hearings, hearing testimony. And then the other piece of the bill, of course, the social equity piece, the second allotment of licenses for new licensed folks will start next year after January 1st. And that will be apportioned by the new administration, the Cannabis Administration. A lot of that will be based on jurisdictions that have had a history of folks that have been arrested, or, you know, the whole war on drugs, the folks that serve marijuana arrest and so forth. There's a whole formula to begin to identify those communities that have suffered the most under that cannabis law enforcement and judicial process.
Almost targeting, yes.
Right. So, and even some of the folks that were targeted will have an ability to participate in Maryland's recreational program. Not only be an applicant, a grower, a
part of all this is to keep it off the street and tax it.
Yeah.
Right? Like that, at the heart of it, it's a sin tax that we...
Right. Yep.
Never thought about for 80 years in this country, right?
Right?
Literally, it was a street drug, right? I mean, literally, and now we're trying to make the street part of it go away. Hey, I'm here with the lottery, right? We're talking about mobile wagering and gambling, and I'm talking about the casino and doing business in Hollywood. I'm talking about the 50th year of the lottery. Last week I was at Costas, and I said to Mr. Costas, what was it like when they came in and said they were going to make the numbers game legal? You know what I mean? Because it was such a street racket, right? I mean, gambling, that's what it was. Marijuana's been that, and I think from the recreational part, when you're talking about challenged communities and communities that have been ravaged by this, people are still using cannabis in these communities, right?
Right.
So how can there be fair access to run a legitimate business, right? Legitimate business.
And this bill sets the framework up to do that.
And pay taxes.
And some of the taxes that are paid in will go to loan funds and so forth to begin to create a marketplace where everybody has a chance to participate in it at several different layers, you know, grower, processor, smaller micro dispensaries. And so it does create that kind of framework. And then they were careful. They put, you know, the House had a graduated tax system that was 5, 6, 7 and went up to 9%. The Senate went ahead and set it at 9% is what we put on alcohol currently. And so set it there. I think they learned from a lot of other states that you can't tax it too much. You have to be careful. You walk a tightrope. You can't create a black market. You have to produce a market where it's available for sale and people can go. But you can't make it too expensive because, believe me, there are still folks out there that want to do it on the side or do it in the black market. So I think Maryland did a pretty good job at the revenue distribution, the taxation.
On behalf of your client, you're happy.
Yeah. I think, and I think overall most folks are happy with the framework because maybe coming a little later than some of the other states, there's studies out there, and you can tell the work groups that worked on the bill over the summer looked at a lot of the studies were out there where folks had made mistakes, and we dialed back on taxation, the number of licenses, you know, how much you're going to have out there in the marketplace. So they've kind of looked at all that. So hopefully we'll be, there are going to be some growing pains, a lot of regulations to be laid out yet. But I think they put together a pretty good framework for that.
How's the new Annapolis? How did that go for 90 days down there?
It was different. You know, I haven't been in the Senate for 8 years now. The Senate still kind of reminded me of the old Senate. There are new members there, but the way it operated, a little bit smaller.
Leadership's changed. Big
bit,
time.
Yeah, smaller, more judicious, but still probably the body that kind of takes a closer, slower look at things. The House has changed a lot. I'd definitely say it's been 16 years since I was in the House. A lot more progressive than the House. Let's face it, even, I mean, you can tell the difference in Annapolis missing the two Mikes. You know, Mike Bush, Mike Miller, although, you know, down the middle of the road, strong Democrats, they were pretty judicious in running both of their bodies and moved a little bit slower on progressive issues, took a look at taxation. And so I can see the change there a little bit, the way certain bills are moving more quickly through the legislature. But, you know, the legislature's been around for hundreds of years, and one thing for certain, that 90-day dance has not changed a whole lot from when the bills come in to the hearings and to sign-y-die.
It doesn't get done until April.
That all came back to me. I could tell the nuance of things, the flow. The flow is still the same. They're there on the last night, you know, trying to rush through and get some bills done, make sure they got bills on the table to vote on. And so a lot of that, and the budgeting is very similar. So it kind of felt like home to me. I really enjoyed it. And so we'll see how it goes.
Barry Glassman is our guest. We're at Pappas. We're having crab cakes. We're going to have a crab cake with Tim and with Justin a little later on. We had a great, great show up here. All of it brought to you by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Window Nation. The 27th, we're going to be downtown at Captain Larry's having Morris crab cake. Then on the 28th, back down to Fadley's to make good for missing out on opening day. Man, the opening day and the cancel was 80 degrees. Then the Springsteen concert, and the Eagles concert, signy die, and we got OBJ, and we got Lamar Jackson. I got things going on here. How's Harford County?
Your side of the sheet is busy.
Oh my God, everything's busy, yeah. Right? How's Harford County? What's it like not running it?
It's I tried.
You swore it was going to fall apart when you left.
Well, some folks have called me and said it has, but I'm being a good. I think I'm trying to be a good former county executive and following my mom's old rule. You know, if you can't say anything good, don't say anything at all. So I'm not in the paper. I think we'll see how it goes. I think it's early yet. But
are you done politicking? Or are you not going to say?
Never say never.
I'm not giving you a hard question.
Yeah, I would, I've learned, I've seen other politicians say never and have to go back on it. So I won't say never, but I can tell you I had a good 30-year run, and I'm happy where I'm at. I've got a 2-year-old grandson. I'm lobbying in Annapolis, still getting to keep my finger in that. And so I'm in a good place right now.
Well, I also think like where you are and what you've done and the controller thing and all of these life issues, like what would you be sitting here right now even over – In privacy, saying I really want that job, and I'm thinking, I don't know. That would be an elected job. Yeah, that would be a job where you'd have to go put signs up.
I know that's what, and I have people call me. You know, it's easy for people to call you and say, oh, you should do this or you should do that. They've never, driven 8 hours to Annapolis or had to go to D.C. suburbs and fight traffic, campaign, get back home at 10 o'clock at night, and. So I'm in a good spot right now. I don't think I'll ever say never, but, I don't see it, but who knows?
Well, you have to be convinced you can win, too, and that you can make a difference,
Exactly. And, I set up my own lobbying shop. I could have went with some big, worked for some bigger firms and so forth. But I figure, I've done a lot on my own, so I just set up my own small firm. Do it myself, and
well, you look happy.
Yeah, and I have the Harford County Libraries are one of my clients. They're a good client. The Harford County Deputy Sheriff's Union, And I have a stream restoration company. So what I'm trying to pick some good areas that I'm interested in working with, helping folks out.
Now, how do you lobby for the libraries? Trying to get more money for them?
Well, the libraries, particularly in Annapolis, and many library systems have now kind of have a lobbyist down there working, keeping an eye on the capital budget. They're always in, you know, our libraries are always in need of additional funding. Most library systems are at the mercy of being funded by the county. They don't get much from the state. They don't really have an independent source of revenue. And so we're down there on labor issues, material issues, capital budget. And so, and when they come down there, they like to have somebody that can walk them around and take them into the Senate, meet senators and delegates. And so we educate legislators, too, exactly about what public libraries do and what they mean to the community.
Well, I mean, I as a writer, and anytime I have library people on from Enoch Pratt or wherever, I'm very pro library. I think you know, like it's a public resource that's so important for education.
And they are community spots. I know going through the pandemic or through blizzards, they were the spot. They were cooling centers in the heat. They are places to go during blizzards. So they've really come together as kind of community centers.
Well, I assume everybody has the internet, but that's not really the way it is.
No,
that's not really the way it is. Yeah.
And the Deputy Sheriff's Union, you know, I've been a big supporter of Harford County deputies, our law enforcement. Tough job. We're in Annapolis working to get better pension benefits, really trying to get better pension benefits so counties can hire more deputies. It's one of those professions now that it's difficult to hire. You see shortages not only in Baltimore, Harford County, Cecil. Every jurisdiction is dealing with hiring shortages.
Recruitment is a full-time effort.
Yep.
And
so,
then some. Yeah.
Yep. So
tough job.
I'm down there telling their story.
All right.
Yep.
Well, you're here telling your story. Barry Glassman, former Harford County executive in semi-retirement and lobbying on behalf of the recreational cannabis space, which I learned a lot. And that's what we like to do on the show. I knew when I had you on, I'm like, I'm going to learn some stuff because you've been down in Annapolis with your ear out. Anything else in Annapolis, not in your space, that you found interesting for citizens?
No, I still think the changeover since the good thing since the pandemic, even for lobbyists, that you can watch these hearings, you know, live streamed. Everything is live streamed on your laptop now. So, you know, like you, if you were really interested in that medical cannabis, it was an 8-hour bill in the 8-hour hearing in the Senate.
But you didn't have to go drive and park.
I did, but you could watch it at home.
I mean,
you know, there is an advantage of sitting in that seat and being in the hearing room. But, you know, that whole change for citizens and the transparency is from my time serving, you know, 8-10 years ago, has really been transformed. I think it's so much more open. And most of the committees now even have some space in the hearing schedule where you still can zoom in and testify if you're an average citizen instead of trying to drive down there, sign up, and go through the Annapolis regimen, which can be tough to get in there and sit all day away from work. And so, to me, that is one of the best improvements I think the legislature has done probably since its inception.
I haven't had any, I mean, the last couple of months between not going to the Super Bowl and all everything's going on, and the legislature being, I haven't had any politicians on. I've been not just dealing with sports or Lamar community issues, but now that it's over with, we're getting back in. Mako's coming this summer. I'll be down there for that. There's a lot of change in the state, and I think I was interested in that in the fall, knowing we had new administration everywhere, kind of, sort of, in a lot of different places, including Harford County, that to measure it a little bit. So I think I'm going to do that this summer.
Yep.
Barry Glassman, he's out on the streets here at Harford County. We're going to send him out of here with a crab cake at Pappas. All of it brought to you by the Maryland Lottery and Wind Donation. We come back, I'm going to have a crab cake because it's Maryland Crab Cake Tour. And if I don't have a crab cake, I can't say it's Crab Cake Tour. Back for more in Bel Air right after this from Pappas.